You have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. This is the sixth of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And next week we'll be dealing with Laodicea. The title of the message this morning is Sardis, Lifelessness. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now, Lord had no commendation for Sardis as a church. Now, he has praise for a faithful few that are in the church. But to the church as a whole, he says, thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. We're not to get the impression that Sardis was a defunct affair, with a building just being a wreck, the members scattered, and the pastor ready to resign. In fact, it was a very busy church. They had meetings almost every night. There were committees galore. Promotion and publicity was the order of the day. Something was going on all the time. It had such a name among the brethren and in the neighborhood churches, and even at headquarters. But it had no such name with the Lord. He said, thou art dead. You have a name to be alive, but you're dead. What an indictment of a church. The organism had become a mere organization. She was dead, but she did not admit it. You remember Samson, when he lost his power, we read that he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And he said, I'll go out when the Philistines came, as at other times before, and I will shake myself. And I thought, how much of our religious activity today is really Samson shaking himself, going through his spiritual calisthenics, unaware of the fact that the Lord had left him. One night at prayer meeting, a discouraged church member stated his request in the presence of a visiting minister. He said this, and I quote, pray for us here. The blower is still blowing, but the fire has gone out. Well, the blower at Sardis was still blowing, but the fire had gone out. They were known as a living church, but the Lord said it needed revival. A lot of live churches dead in the sight of God need to repent. Now, this is the church that received no commendation, but the condemnation is listed here. The Christ of the candlestick states the trouble that he saw in Sardis. He said, I have not found thy works to be perfect before God. That is to say, they were doing plenty of things that were right, but nothing was fulfilled, nothing carried out, nothing reached its total full objective. They prayed, but nothing reached its real object. Their prayers never got to the roof. They worshiped, but it rose no higher in their worship than the roof of the church. They sang, but their singing was without really any real true meaning from the heart. And they were going through the motions, but they were not singing out of a heart of love and devotion to Jesus Christ. They gave, but it was vain oblations to God. They gave to God, and they were giving gifts without the giver. Now, I think there's a lot of danger in that today of folks just reaching the point in their life that they do what they do because they've always done it. Instead of giving out of a heart of love or serving out of a heart of love, we just do it because we've always done that. Going to church, it's a good thing. Going to church is a good thing if we meet God here. You see, when we come into the house of God, we come into God's house. He is here where two or three are gathered together in His name. He is in the midst. Worship is a good thing if it is in spirit and in truth. Tithing is a good thing, but you remember the Macedonian Christians. The Bible said they first gave themselves, then they gave their gifts to the Lord. The Pharisees boasted, "I give tithes of all that I possess." Giving God a dime out of every dollar and giving Him an hour on Sunday, they felt like that they were doing what they were supposed to do, and they were going through the motions, but they didn't do it out of a heart of love. You remember Jesus when He was talking, and He wasn't talking on tithing when He said these words. He said, "These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone." That is, we are to major on the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. And He made it clear that if we do not major on them, then our gifts are not going to be meaningful. But He said, major on these three things, but don't leave the other undone. So He says they're all important, that we do these for the glory of God. Faith is a good thing, but it has no virtue save in the fact that it brings us to Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, I would simply say to all of you that are here today that by faith we please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so as a child of God, we come in, and our faith ought to be an active faith, doing what we do out of a heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfully doing week after week, year after year, until Jesus comes and says, "It's enough." Now, Sardis engaged in all of these things, but fulfilled none of them. There was a form of godliness, but there was no force. It has been said that they were faultless. They were icily regular and splendidly null. You see, they had a form of godliness, but there was no power thereof. Now, the Lord of the lampstands does not tell Sardis to give up these things. He said this, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." In other words, make them mean something. When you do what you do, whether it's sing or whether it's take up the offering, whether it's to teach a class, whatever you do, do it because you love the Lord. And it means something to you. And you receive a blessing out of everything that you do when it's done in the right motive and attitude. Well, he said, sometimes churches try to achieve the purpose by simply maybe doing away with the choir or dispensing with the collection or disposing of the structure, the organization, the order in the church. But that's not the way to do it. You see, the way to do it, that everything has its place in the church. But everything ought to be done because that we have a heart of love and we put our love and devotion in everything we do. And it means something to us, but it means something to others. You see, if we're blessed, there will be blessings for others. God help us. Well, if we had visited Sardis, I think they would have shown us just how well fixed and well off that they were. They boasted of their large membership. Their finances were in good shape. Every organization was functioning on a high level. There was a mighty program of activity going on in everything at the church. You see, they were individuals that put everything into it. But there was, in this church, while they were growing, there was no real, maybe quality is what I want to say. They had no quality. They had quantity, but they didn't have quality. The salt, the Bible said, had lost its savor. Recently, a preacher told the story about visiting a certain spring where thousands of gallons of the purest of water gushed from the mountainside. He said nearby there was a public fountain, and when he tried to get some water out of it, it was broken down and out of order. He said it looked like a fountain. It had all the looks and the appearance of a fountain, but it had no water. With all the water around, he said, I could not get a drink because that which dispensed the water was broken. Many a church, for all the grace of God that is available to them, is a dry fountain. It has a name of being a church, but it has the name in the portals of heaven of being dead. Now, the church at Sardis needed to repent. They needed to rededicate their life. There was a deadness there. They needed to put away sin. They needed to be filled with the Spirit of God. They need the life of God in their hearts. But they were dead. You remember, some of you, the old water wheels that would cause the meals to be able to function and grind. And one day the miller came out and he found that the water wheel wasn't turning. And when he looked, he saw that the stream had almost dried up and it wasn't running. And there was obstruction somewhere upstream that kept it from working, and it was damming up the water. Now, if he had tried to go ahead and turn the wheel himself, how counterproductive that would be. But if he went upstream and he moved the obstructions and let the water flow, what a difference. You see, in a church, there are sometimes obstructions. And if we remove the obstructions with God's help, the blessings flow. You see, God wants his people to be pure, to be holy and righteous. Without holiness, we cannot please God. Well, our Lord says further to the church of Sardis, remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, he said, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know in what hour that I'll come upon thee. He said, repent, or else. You see, the else is I will come quickly. How different from the other promises that he gave of his coming. I think all of us look forward to the day that Jesus Christ will split the eastern sky, and that the trump of God will sound and the cry will go out, time will be no more. God's people are taken up to heaven to be with him for all eternity. But the Lord says here for this church to repent or else. He said, I will come as a thief. There's a note of warning here to Sardis and to any other church or Christian person. It could be or else. Sometimes we all need to look at ourselves and realize that maybe we need to repent. Maybe there's something in our life that's hindering us and hindering the work of God in the church. God help us that we'll bow down before Him. But there's a note of warning, and I think this is a good test for any church or any Christian. When we talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a second time, do you welcome it or do you dread it? Do you welcome it or do you dread it? He is coming. We need to rejoice, and if there's anything that we can do, we ought to be happy and rejoice. When we hear about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Then the Lord of the lampstand has a good word for the faithful few. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Thou hast a few in Sardis. You know, I have found that many churches are like an ailing or a sick lung. They have a few cells that are breathing, others that are not. They have a faithful few, and these faithful few keep it from being an animated corpse. God is in the remnant business. Nowhere in the Bible does he say that he'll save the whole world. But he's calling out a faithful few. Those individuals that will listen to his call, submit to his authority, bow down before him, worship him, serve him with all their heart, and every day gets sweeter as the days go by, knowing that one day the Lord's going to say, it is enough. Come home, weary child, come home. Well, the best people need to humble themselves and pray. Seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven. He'll forgive us of our sins and he'll heal our land. I'm convinced today that God wants to heal America. I'm convinced that he can if America will bow down before him. I don't know that it'll ever happen. But we ought to pray, God, save our country. Help our country to turn back to God and bow before him. But it starts in individual churches and individual lives. God help us that we'll bow down and submit to him. Our Lord works with a few. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he has promised to be in our midst. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done unto them by the Father which is in heaven. You see, one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase not 2,000, but 10,000, is what the Bible says. If any dedicated nucleus of the church, if they started out, and we're talking about that small minority, that church within the church, if that small nucleus, if each one would win the one next to them. And then that new convert would win one next to them. In a few weeks' time, we wouldn't have room sufficient in the church. But isn't that what the Lord said for us? And we ought to be challenged in 2018. Go out into the highways and the byways, compelled to come in that God's house might be full. God wants to reach everybody for salvation. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They kept themselves unspotted from the world. You see, they named the name of Christ, and they departed from iniquity. Now, our righteousness is an imputed righteousness. I don't stand before God in my own righteousness. Thank God for that. For my righteousness is as filthy rags before God. But when I got saved, he gave me his righteousness. He gave you his righteousness. That does not mean that we can allow our garments to be spotted and stained with sin. God intends for us to live right, to be holy, and to be submissive to his will. They named the name of Christ, and they departed from iniquity. Our righteousness, oh, it is as filthy rags when it's ours. Reminds me of a hospital operating room. Everything is spotless. The surgeons, the nurses, they go and they wash their hands. They put on the gloves. The instruments have all been sanitized. They must be clean because what they deal with is infection. We live in a world infected and infested with the microbes of sin. And we who bear the vessels of the Lord must keep ourselves clean. And for the sake of others, we must sanctify ourselves. Suppose doctors and nurses said something like this: we are medical ministers by position. We do not need to bother about our condition. Too often Christians, all of us are whom God's ministers, we take pride in the fact of our position, but we do nothing about the condition of our life. We should walk as a Christian in white. I think all of us know that in this day and time that gray is a popular color. Gray is good for funerals, but it's not good for church. Gray is a color of compromise. It's not black, it's not white, it's gray. We need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to get into the gray matter of living. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We have to live that way in our Christian life. Straight is the gate, narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. God help us that we'll be that faithful few. Because the Lord is gathering a remnant. It may not be that every member of every church is a part of that remnant, but you can be if by faith you give your all to him. Will you bow with me for prayer?